scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof chapter 24, Luke 24, beginning with verse 1 through 12. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord, who dwells above in a heavenly glory, and that is so beyond all that is of the earth and earthly, wherein we do dwell, and upon which we are taken up day after day, then we have no conception of thee and thy greatness and thy highness and thy glory. And thou knowest that we are carnal, and we come to gather around thy word, which is spiritual, that we have been created in thy image, and we have lost that image, that we know not anymore thee, ourselves, and we have no longer that righteousness and that holiness that is so necessary to dwell with thee and to come into thy presence. We may in this morning hour be gathered together. It is in thy holy sight, and it is upon a very special Sabbath day, wherein we may, as a church in the church year, commemorate the resurrection of thine only begotten Son. Lord, thou knowest what is in the heart of each and every one of us, then we cannot know the joy of that day when we do not know the sorrows of that Good Friday. We cannot know the joy of that life except we know the grief of that death. Lord, could it please thee then to instruct each and every one of us? Oh, that thou may grant us that new birth that flows also out of thy resurrection. Wilt thou grant unto us that grant unto thy own children what is necessary also to commemorate such a day? Lord, then thou must lead each and every one of them into the mysteries of thy free and sovereign grace, else they also do know nothing, and a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Oh, we ask it of thee then in this day, that thou may go before thy word, that thou may give free course unto thy word in the midst of us as a congregation, that thou may give instruction in the mind, that thou may give the experience in the heart. All then alone will thy name be honored and glorified as it ought to be. And then it shall be a little beginning here below in this world, of that joy that is experienced in thy presence by a church that has triumphed over sin and transgression and iniquity. Lord, we ask of thee that thou may remember also this young man who has stood here before us as a congregation, and who has stood also before thee to make confession of his guilt. O Lord, could it please thee to forgive him? O that thou may wash and cleanse him in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. And O do give him that life, that heart that loves to live without sin, And wilt thou remember each and every one of us, oh, that we also may be brought to confession before one another, but also before thee. For except that we confess our sin, then we cannot be forgiven our sin. Do remember also his parents. Oh, thou knowest what a grief that our children sometimes can be, which causes us to look inward and brings upon our knees to look upward. But also that same child, that he may be such a joy, even as we can read in thy word of that prodigal who did return once again and was the joy of his father's house. Lord, humble them also before thee. Teach us all from above what thou hast come to do. For thou sayest, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Oh, give us then a place before thee in our inner chamber, each and every one. Bless thy word this day. Oh, that which we may try to bring a little portion of thy holy truth, and may be sanctified to young and old, and may be blessed for the bringing forth of new life. Oh, that it may be for the great glory of thy holy and thrice worthy name, and for all that thou hast done, that thou hast accomplished in and through thine only begotten Son. Oh, that he then may be magnified to the highest, and that we may be abased to the lowest. Do remember all those that are not able to gather with us. Look on them in the places where they are, and when they may listen or are not able to listen in this morning hour. Grant thy indispensable blessing and help in all the circumstances of a widowhood and of difficulties of mind and of body, the youth of the congregation, the children, the many needs because of the consequences of our sin. Oh, bring home the cause, that it all may redound to our welfare, that the callings may be sanctified, and that thy name may be glorified. Remember all thy truly sent servants, and when they do go forth from Sabbath to Sabbath day, wilt thou guide each and every one and give strength for the labors, and wilt thou bless thy word among Jew and among Gentile. And then we think also of him in our midst who hopes to travel to the land of Israel in this coming week, for the dedication of a messianic church. Oh, Lord, remember him and bring him in safety back once again. But wilt thou also bless thy word in that place, and that also the beloved for the Father's sakes, that they also may be turned once again to see the error of their way, and that they may be brought to believe in thee, the only begotten Son of God. Give that thy word also in that place, and may not be brought with corruption, that Satan may be put away in all his devices, and that thy truth, as it must be experimentally known in the heart of each and every one, may also be proclaimed in that place. Look on us then all together. Remember us in the preaching also in this morning. O Lord, help us to give, to give to us a strength in our body. O do give to us the unction of thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure, and the ability in a simple way to bring thy word to the understanding of the hearers, young and old. And may it be that thy spirit may bring it further. Thy will be done in all things, in heaven and in earth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquities, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 29, stanzas 1 and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. I praise the Lord above, whose counsel guides aright. My heart instructs me in his love in seasons of the night. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 29, 1 and 3. congregation, it is a special day. And why? Well, because it is Sunday. There is a special day, boys and girls, every week. That is actually the only holy day that there is. That is the Sabbath day. And we do commemorate in a special way in this day also Easter. And we say that is special. Why? Because it is the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been commemorated every week in the New Testament church, that is the very reason that the Sabbath day that is no longer in the New Testament on Saturday, but that the Sabbath day has been placed upon the Sunday because it is the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is no day in that church of God that the joy that has been so great as upon this day. May the Lord also make it so in this day. And we wish to consider this together with the Lord's help in this morning out of that portion that was read to you, Luke 24, and thereof the 11th verse, Luke 24, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So far, the words of our text. Idle tales on Sunday morning, first, for the depth of their sorrows, second, for the height of their joy. Idle tales on Sunday morning, first, for the depth of their sorrows, second, for the height of their joy. Thus our text that speaks about idle tales. What are idle tales, boys and girls? Idle tales are nonsense. That is just like one of your friends who has made up a story, and that story that has become greater and greater, and that is so unbelievable that you say, well, I don't believe anything of it. It is just a tale, just an idle tale by someone who doesn't have anything else to do, and then they make up a big story. That is an idle tale. That is not something that you and I believe. And that is why it says in our text, and they believed them not. Who is telling those idle tales? Well, we see some women. We read in the Bible Mary Magdalene. And we read about Joanna, we read about Salome, or Mary, the mother of James. And they are excitedly speaking and telling their story. It is very early in the morning. They are awake already. So much has happened in the days that have gone by. Oh, on Friday, so much has happened. That the Lord Jesus, he has been laid in the grave, and then yesterday, then it was the Sabbath day, and so they have rested according to the commandment, but they had prepared already spices, and so early they are up in the morning, and they are coming to embalm once again the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those women, they are gone. But suddenly those women, they are reappearing. And they are very excited. And they are speaking very, very quickly. And they are telling. And what are they telling? Well, they are telling things that are unbelievable. Mary Magdalene, oh, she has been with those women. And when they have been going to that sepulchre, and then she has seen all of a sudden that stone that was rolled away from that sepulchre, and she has turned immediately around, and she goes back unto the disciples. She says to Peter, she says, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we do not know where they have laid him. And then she goes back. She quickly departs. Where does she go? Well, she goes back unto the grave once again. But then those other women, they are immediately appearing also. And then they are also speaking, and they are telling something else. Well, they have been to that grave. They have gone further. And to them the angel of the Lord has appeared, and he has spoken unto them. And thus we read, they had seen a vision of angels, and that those angels, they have told them that the Lord Jesus is alive. That the Lord Jesus, he is going to go before them into Galilee, and that there they are going to see him. And those women, they have come back again. And when they have come back, oh, then they may tell how that the Lord Jesus himself has appeared unto them, and that he himself has confirmed that word that those angels have spoken. Now, what do we read? And their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They did not believe it. Why not? They could not. Their hearts, they were not prepared to receive such a message. Why not? We say, in the first place, for the depth of their sorrows. There was a time, congregation, in the life of those disciples that everything was expectation. That was in the beginning. That was when they were first called. Expectation, hope, that is what is belonging to that young life. From the moment of regeneration, there is hope that is planted in such a soul. You say, but then there is the knowledge of sin, and then the knowledge of sin is increasing. That is so. But that is not unto despair. Far from it. Because in that hope there is, in that heart there is also planted love. And in that heart there is also planted a hope that it will never die. It is true. And then that heart is not yet embracing the proper object of hope, then that soul does not see that hope that is alone in that blessed mediator. No. And then they first need to despair all of their own labor, of all of their own work. But this congregation, the Lord, he is going to work out in the life of his people. The disciples, they have been given by the Lord to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in his prophetical office. Oh, they received his words. And they are the words of the Son of God. They are the words of God himself. and they may by faith embrace him in this prophetical office. They have also embraced him in his kingly office. No, they did not understand it. They had wrong conceptions of the kingdom of God. They thought it was an earthly kingdom. And yet, their heart bowed under him. With all their heart, they had a desire that they may obey him as king. But congregation, the Lord Jesus had another office. What office is that? That is the priestly office. And what belongs to that priestly office? That is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And now that is something that those disciples, they did not understand. Was it not prophesied? Did they not have it in their Bible? Or it was prophesied from the very beginning? From the beginning of the necessity of a mediator? From the first promise? Was it not typified? That they should know of that priestly office, of that sacrifice. Daily the offerings they were being brought in that temple of the Lord. Yes, they knew it. Did the Lord Jesus not tell them about that priestly office? Did he not speak to them about that need for that sacrifice? Many times. But congregation, then we see how that a man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. Or we can know the way, and we should know the way in our mind. When we are taught the way that the Lord is leading his people from step to step. Can you say that a little bit, young people? How the Lord is leading his church? But if the Lord will do it, then we tell you, then you will not know the next step that the Lord will have to lead you in your life. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, everything had gone so wrong. No, not all in one day. It began so well. It began with so much hope. It began with so much expectation in these last years. But then, this last year, then slowly the Lord Jesus, he began to prepare his disciples, and he began to instruct his disciples more and more in what? In the way of dying. And he began to tell them how that the Son of Man, and that he will be taken by the chief priests and the scribes, and he shall be crucified. Slowly he began to speak unto them. They didn't understand it. They also did not want to hear it. And what we don't want to hear, well, we put that to the side, don't we? Yes, but it was also in the experience, because, well, then he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and then the people, they want to make him a king. And what does he do? He sends them all away. sent his disciples to. And he goes alone into that mountain to pray. And then we see how things are going, because more and more the scribes, the Pharisees, the church officers, they are coming against him more and more. They do not believe him. And finally, it is becoming so bad that they are actually plotting against him. Oh, more and more it is going in that way of death. Do they lose that hope? Oh, it is not completely congregation. It was in the first day of the Passion weeks. Then the Lord Jesus, he is asking for that colt, and then the people, they are crying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, then I think, who do you think, children, were singing the loudest? I think it was his disciples. Oh, they were waiting for this time, and that the Lord Jesus, he would go to the throne. And then, oh, then it goes so wrong again. And then so quickly, and that same week, then he is apprehended, and he is mocked, and he is sentenced unto death, and he is brought to the cross. Then we heard it, Good Friday, he is dead. And then he was buried. He was buried. And now it is the third day already. And now that reality that begins to set in. Can they understand it? No. It has gone so wrong. But they have to accept it. And then they have to begin in their mind to sort everything out. We trusted that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. That is what we trusted. We believed in him. But we were so wrong, so wrong. That is evident. Because he is dead. Because he is lying now in the grave. Oh, how wrong we were. We have deceived ourselves. And all the mocking of that enemy, oh, they were right. They were right. And we were wrong. But if that was not the right way, then what is the right way? Then I do not know anymore what that right way is. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Why? We say in the first place, for the depth of their sorrows. Oh, they are counting on it already, congregation, that their hope that is perished from the Lord, oh, it has become the awful reality. They cannot change the circumstances. No, it is impossible for he that goes down to the grave does not come up again. Congregation, are there those that can follow the way a little of these disciples? Because it is the way of the Lord. In the further leadings of the Spirit of the Lord with his own people, then there are those that are not strangers of what that is, to lose their own works, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be revealed unto them as the way, as the truth, as the life, that they may have a hope that is born in their soul concerning that blessed mediator, that they begin, that their heart begins to go out to him in faith, in true faith and believing and hoping in him. But it must go further. If there are also going to be further benefits. Why? Well, congregation, what does the Lord Jesus say? He that will save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. Thus it is not only our works, but it is also our very life that needs to be lost. No, we don't want to lose our life. We don't want to lose our life. No man, the devil, he says, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But if we will find our life in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, then first we must lose our life. And the Lord himself, he is going to work this through in the life of his children. Where does a man lose his life? In the experience of his soul. He loses his life at the bar of the justice of God. Congregation, that people, they are building. They are building. From that first moment when the Lord converts them, then they begin to build. What do they build upon? Well, there is first a feeling. There is love. There is joy. Do we know what that is? In the house, in the service of the Lord, there is longing. There is sorrow. There is grief for sin. There is maybe even a promise of the Lord that he will do for them. All congregation, they are building. But what now happens if we have to stand before the bar of the justice of God? What happens to this? Then we need to lose it all. No, not as if it was nothing, but it is no ground. We cannot stand before God with the gifts that he has given to us. But when we stand before the justice of God, when we are brought into his court, what will we have to say there? What do you think? Nothing. No, nothing. Can we say when God calls us to give an answer to all of our life, then there is only one thing that is guilt. Guilt. And we will not have one answer to 1,000 questions. That is reality. And if the Lord by his Spirit may bring us there, then the reality of our condemnation that begins to come home to us, then we see, congregation, that there is no other way but that I am lost, that I am lost forever. I cannot change this. because I cannot change the circumstances. I cannot change what I have done. I cannot change who I am. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, I cannot change this. And I cannot change God. I cannot change His law. I cannot change His justice, His requirements. There is only one way, and that is that I am lost. And the reality of this, that begins to settle in. Even that I have to agree with it. And not only have to agree with it, but because of that love to Him and His righteousness and His holiness, that I may agree with it. Because His honor that is so much greater and more worthy than my own salvation, than the reality, the love for Him, that burns in the heart, so that I desire His glory more than my own salvation. Congregation, how long does the Lord leave His people in this place? That is not a place where the Lord makes His people to tarry. No, we read here it is on the third day already that there is coming another message. And they came saying they had seen a vision of angels, saying that He was alive, that He was alive. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Why? For the depth of their sorrows. But not only so, also for the height of their joy. But let us sing first. 210, 2 and 4. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. The blessedness of long ago made deeper still my present woe. 2 and 4 of 210. and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Congregation, what does Christmas have in common with Easter? Christmas and Easter. Say, in both Christmas and Easter, then there is new life. That is so. What is the difference between Christmas and Easter? Well, Easter is connected with something that Christmas is not. And what is that? That is Good Friday. Thus, the life on Easter is a life that comes out of the grave. That comes out of the grave. That is the difference. That is, it goes from death unto life. Thus, there is an Easter, a great contrast, a great contrast, a contrast that we do not find in Christmas. Thus, there is a great joy associated naturally with Christmas. But the joy of Easter that supersedes that joy of Christmas. Why? Because it is a life that is coming out of the grave. And their words seem to them as idle tales. We do not read this about Christmas. No, we read this about Easter. And their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. They cannot. Why not? Because it is too much for them. Too much for them. Because the sorrows, they are so deep. And because the joy that is too great, they, as it were, do not dare to receive it. They do not dare to believe it. What do we read of the bride? And he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And then the bride, she swoons, and she needs to be supported underneath. His left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. And their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Oh, children, do you remember Rhoda? Do you remember Rhoda? Then Peter was standing at the door and he was knocking. And then Rhoda, what do we read? She open not the door for what? For gladness. Oh, she couldn't believe it, that Peter was standing at the door, and then she forgot to open the door. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, what do we read then about Peter and John? Then congregation, they arose. They arose. What do we read? Then arose Peter. And then John, he speaks also how that Peter and that other disciple, they arose. They arose. Congregation, they cannot sit there. They believed them not. What kind of unbelief was it? It was not the unbelief of the world. It was not the unbelief of the carnal professor, no. But it was the unbelief of God's own children. Oh, they cannot believe it for the joy of it. And they so wished that they could believe it. They so wished that it was true. And now they cannot sit there anymore. But then arose Peter. And where are they going? They are going, congregation, to the grave. They are going to the grave. And why? They want the evidences. Oh, they want to know for themselves, is this really, really true? Or is it not true? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. But were not those disciples told also about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Often. But they didn't believe he was going to die. And because they didn't believe he was going to die, they had never considered his resurrection. And now when that death did take place, oh, then his life that was so far beyond all their expectations. Congregation, do you know what happens on Easter? On Easter, it goes from hell into heaven. From hell into heaven in one moment. That is why we read it here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Justification that takes place in one moment. In one moment. That takes place by the speaking of the judge. And that is, congregation, the releasing of a condemned man. And he receives what? That man that is condemned to death, he receives life. And he walks out of that courthouse as a free man, as a free man. Then he goes out, and then he cannot see. He goes out, and he cannot see. Why not? Because of the brightness of that sun, and over against the darkness of that dungeon. Then you can understand that. That man comes out of that dark pit and he walks out into that bright sunlight. And then you can understand that he has many times to blink his eyes and to ask himself whether or not that he is dreaming. Whether or not he is dreaming. O congregation, when Christ did arise from the grave, And then the whole church of God that did arise with him. And then that church has received their justification. When Christ arose from the grave, every one of his children, they are set free from the condemnation of eternal and everlasting death. They are set free. He was raised again, we read in the Word of God, for our justification. But now to experience it, that is another matter. And that is taking place in the application when the guilty, when they have nothing but guilt, and when they have to stand before that judgment bar of God, before their judge, and when that judge is speaking and he is setting free a condemned man because of his guilt based on that shed blood of that blessed mediator, old than a man, he is set free. We heard on Friday about negotiations, but we heard the case was not settled. But congregation, here is the settling of that case. Here is now the settling of that case, then that people may receive the liberty of the sons of God. Oh, and then their words, they seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. That is, in that moment, in such a moment, in the life of God's true people. Oh, can you understand why that New Testament church, they desire to commemorate that resurrection of Christ every Sabbath day? Oh, the joy that is inexpressible, because it is over against the sorrows of Good Friday. It is from death unto life. It is from lost unto saved. It is from hell into heaven. And their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, how many benefits are not flowing out of the resurrection of Christ for his church. It is the benefit, congregation, of regeneration. Do you desire this? Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? Oh, he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, thus, children, now you may go to your home from the church of God. And now you may lay that before the Lord. And you may ask the Lord and say, oh Lord, thy dear son, he is risen from the dead. Oh, wilt thou give me now also the resurrection from the dead, that I may receive spiritual life from a spiritual death? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples after he was risen? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, because I am able to convert a man. Because I am able to raise a man from the dead. Oh, what is flowing out of that resurrection of Christ, that is the forgiveness of sins, congregation, that is justification. He is raised again for our justification, the apostle says. O people of the Lord, is not this your desire? Oh, that you may be forgiven, that you may know that you are forgiven. Oh, such is the benefit of the resurrection of Christ. Is it not also the sanctification of the church? Because as we read, if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be planted in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that that body of sin might be destroyed, and that we might live, how? That we might live in newness of life, a new life from that dead life, that is a life that walks in the fear of the Lord. Oh, what is the hope of that church that is flowing out of the resurrection of Christ? That is their own resurrection. What does the Lord Jesus say? Oh, then he says that if in this life only ye have hope in Christ, ye are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And if he is risen from the dead, then he is the first fruits of them that slept. Oh, because he is risen. He is only the first one. But that means when that church, they are laid also in the grave, that they also are going to be risen from the dead. Oh, how much is lying then in this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, can you understand why their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not? For the depth of their sorrows, and also for the height of their joy, because the one thing and that is set so over against the other. Congregation, we have spoken about a benefit in the life of God's children that not so many of them receive in this life. The forgiveness of sins, justification, coveted when it is right by God's children, but not often experienced. How many do not live with doubts and fears concerning their own state, that never receive that assurance, and yet the root of the matter is in them. And what shall that be for those people when they come to take their last breath in this life, to pass out of this life, and then they will stand before the judgment seat of God. Oh, what is it going to be for that people? It will be in that day as idle tales, when he will speak, when they have expected to be cast away into that eternal pit. And then he will speak to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? When saw we thee athirst and gave thee drink? Inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these, ye have done it unto me. And then it will be as idle tales when they will sink away under the grace, under the mercy of God, to a wretched and a miserable and a guilty sinner. And then they will begin. Oh, they will begin that eternal rejoicing over that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And then congregation, another people who have gone through this world expecting to enter in, and they have rejoiced in this world, then they are going to hear it. Suddenly, unexpectedly, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew. Oh, it will be also to them as idle tales when they are cast out into that eternal pit where there will be weeping and will there be gnashing of teeth. Oh, Bunyan, he says, so I saw that there was a way away from the gates of heaven even unto hell. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, the Lord, give to us such an unbelief, that we may know what such an unbelief is. Not the unbelief of our natural heart, but that unbelief because of that joy of that church over against all their sorrows. Then it is just the beginning here of that joy that shall continue forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot fathom the greatness of thy grace to a miserable and to a wretched sinner, and the benefits that are flowing out of all thy work. Oh, cause our hearts to yearn for thee, to turn from our sin, and to seek for thee while thou art to be found. Bring us safely to our places. Give thy word place in our hearts. And wilt thou bring us with desire to hear thy word again in this afternoon hour. Help him that goes before us. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 111. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.